arms around how to build these citizen wealth centers that we've been trying to get up and rolling in Little Rock, New Orleans, Houston, Dallas over the last year or so. Tell us what a citizen wealth center is and what we're trying to do here, Chris.
Well, basically, Wade, citizen wealth is pretty much building and promoting the income security for moderate and low-income families. There's a lot of things that people want to know about, don't know how to go about accomplishing. There's pretty much complex questions with some relatively easy answers sometimes and some complex answers at times. Citizen wealth is that one-stop shop where you can kind of get all those things addressed, those questions answered, and to kind of take on the things that you've been wanting to take on, but just not you're not really sure about how to go about getting it accomplished.
Well, I mean, the other thing we keep stumbling on, and this is really was one of the eye-openers in all the work that y'all did in Arkansas and elsewhere on the Affordable Care Act, we are just dealing with such a complicated swamp of rules, regulations, what fors and what nots, that it's hard for the average Joe, hell, it's hard for the, you know, super person to figure out what in the world to do with some of these plans. And didn't we do a lot of work on the Affordable Care enrollment in Arkansas over the last year?
Oh, yeah, we did a lot of work with the Affordable Care, and it really is complex. We've had several hours, several weeks of training, and it's still a constant learning process because as the program grows, our knowledge has to grow, and people actually are coming in with a lot of questions about, okay, what do I need to do? How do I sign up? What is it going to cost me? How is it going to affect my family? How is it going to affect my income? And these answers, you know, are not easily accessible where you can just click on a button and, oh, okay, there's the exact answer to the question that I'm asking. So you really need an advocate out there, somebody who's knowledgeable and somebody, a resource that you can go to get you enrolled, to tell you, answer those questions, and actually get down into those plans. Those plans get a lot more complex than people understand. We're dealing with now insurance jargon, co-pays, deductibles, maximum limits, things of that nature, and people are just lost, especially if they're dealing with insurance for the first time.
Well, and in Arkansas, how many companies are up for grabs now in the ACA program, in the marketplace?
We have
four or five.
We have four major companies that are up for grabs, and they're enrolling, and all of their plans are pretty diverse. So, you know, some are geared towards...
So you have various levels on the four plans. You've got, you know, bronze and platinum and all kinds of things like that, right? So you got, what, three, four levels?
Yeah, we have three levels. We in Arkansas, we go from bronze to gold. We currently don't have any platinum plans, but...
Oh, okay.
Within each subdivision...
So that's at least 12 different sets of things you're looking at for a family. In Texas, didn't we? There were 38 companies. So that's 38 times three or four. All of a sudden, you're talking about over 100 different permutations of families coming in for the first time and going on the internet, which is not a friendly process, as we all knew last year. I think it's gotten a little better this year, and trying to sort out what's best financially and in terms of health care for their family. The frustrating thing last year is when people were caught in the morass, all we could do was sort of point them. We couldn't give them any advice, could we, Chris?
No, our hands were pretty much tied. We could take them through the process of enrolling, but as far as choosing a plan, our hands were tied as far as leading them one way or the other, and that's really the guidance that they need because you're looking at all these 100 different plans, and there is one that best suits the client, but we weren't able to tell them, okay, this one, since you're on this drug and you go to the doctor this often and you need special care coverage, this plan is best for you. And that's the kind of guidance they actually need.
And working as navigators, I mean, the Navigator program is a great program. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying as we talk about it. But you were navigating. You were showing people how to get to a certain place. Once they got to that place, many of them, this happened time and time again, whether it was in Arkansas or anywhere else we were working, Texas, Louisiana, they would turn to us and say, well, what would you advise? What do you think's best here? And that was a wall we couldn't climb over because we were just Lewis and Clark. We were just showing them where the Missouri River ended. We couldn't tell you what to do with it once you got there. And that was frustrating. That's part of what encouraged us more and more to deepen our planning for the Citizen Wealth Center, huh, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. And now that we're able to guide them more and kind of explain the plans and look more into their personal situation, we can recommend what's best for them, things that won't have too high of a deductible, things that enable them to get the treatment that they need at an affordable cost at a reasonable rate.
And that's just one of the things we're talking about doing the Citizen Wealth Center, because when Chris talks about income security, that's not just health. I mean, in the paper today, I read a little piece in this morning's paper that they're settling some of these suits with one of these companies that just routinely sues people on debts they've had, many of which were settled and through bankruptcy or are way past the statute of limitations, and they just kept ginning the suits, hoping to, you know, sort of bogart people into trying to come up with a couple of dollars here or there that they didn't have, even if they weren't legally required to pay. And that's, you know, obviously the Justice Department got on them, but that happens every day. We see people coming in with a variety of financial issues, don't we, Chris?
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought up things that are no longer liable for as far as credit goes. That's one of the things that I've recently had to take care of, some old bills that somebody had that they were no longer liable for, and it was still appearing on their credit report and negatively affecting their credit report. One of the things that we do at Citizen Wealth is, you know, we can pull your credit report and we can go line by line and see, okay, what is a valid debt, what's not a valid debt, what's something that's expired, and what's you're responsible for. And a lot of times, you know, negotiate on your behalf if that's something that you're interested in doing. And recently, also, we had an elderly woman come in with a $21,000 bill, and she's on Medicare, and this was a six-day inpatient stay at a hospital. And the hospital was claiming that she's responsible for nearly $10,000 of it. Now, of course,
how could that be, Chris?
Exactly,
on Medicare?
Exactly, on Medicare. On their, she's responsible for over 50% of her bill. So it took a little research, and it took a lot of phone calls, but we finally got to the root of it, and at the end of the day, we were able to discover her real amount that she was responsible for, which was a little bit over $1,300 instead of $10,000.
Now, what were they claiming? Was that just a scam, or was it an honest mistake, or what do you reckon, Chris?
Well, you know, it's hard to say on that. They're saying that, oh, they have the right to bill, but under the rules of Medicare, there's certain amounts and certain that are allowed, and about $9,000 of the charges were disallowed by Medicare. So while they were sending the bill, had the person not known any better and just started trying to pay it, which is very difficult for somebody who's on Medicare and they're also elderly on Social Security, you know, it would have took the rest of their lifetime and their children's lifetime to pay that off. But they billed it. It was billed in error. They should have never been billed for it in the first place. And those are the things that we're really looking at, people not knowing, well, am I really responsible for this, and how can this be?
Well, and medical bills have long been known to be one of the single largest causes of bankruptcy and people, you know, being forced into foreclosures and things of this nature. And part of what we want to do in the Citizen Wealth Centers is be a resource for people to go through line by line exactly what you're saying and an advocate for people. It's amazing to me what bills you can get. You read about people getting network and out-of-network charges. When you go in there and you've asked for the network, you think you've got everybody, and all of a sudden they'll bring in an anesthesiologist you didn't know anything about or some, you know, consulting doctor who's a golf buddy of theirs, and bam, you get a second bill for $3,000 or $4,000. None of those people do anything for free. And it's just crazy what can happen to you. And when you're sick, I don't want to call it predatory, but that's where you're not going to be on the best. You and your family aren't going to be on the top of your game trying to make sure somebody doesn't overcharge you.
Absolutely. When you're sick, you're the most vulnerable. You just really want to get in there, have your loved ones being taken care of, get your health together. Just make sure that whatever wrong with you gets taken care of, because we're dealing with life and death issues when we're talking about medicine. Even when you're things such as high blood pressure that can cause you to stroke out or anything, all these things that we take for granted as relatively small, they are serious conditions and people need constant care for them. So when we find ourselves in that position where they say, oh, you're in the hospital and we need to keep you, a lot of times we don't ask questions. We see whoever they send us to, and then we get these outrageous bills.
Well, and it all ends up in your credit report, as you said. Recently, a couple of days ago, President Obama, he started leaking out some of what he's going to say in his State of the Union message here coming up. And one of the things he's talking about is a new program that would help minority homeowners trying to purchase homes, first-time homeowners, by lowering some of the interest insurance charges on that would save close to $1,000. They're speculating that somewhere between, I don't know, 750,000 and 1 million people could all of a sudden be able to jump into the market because of this small change, saving $1,000. It could be some of our people in Arkansas and elsewhere who've finding the rents getting a little high, got a place that they could afford, but are worried about their credit. They need to get that credit right and get ready to get in the housing program, don't they?
Absolutely, and that's one of those things that we address. We definitely will take a look at your credit, and we'll get some of those things that, like I said, we need to get off your credit report because it's a mistake, or negotiate, try to get it paid off, because home ownership is actually one of the most important things when it comes to income security, because like you said, Wade, these rents are getting kind of out of control. Just here in Arkansas, the fair market value of a three-bedroom home for rent is anywhere between $800 to $1,000. Now, when we're talking about renting a property, usually they want you to make three times as much as the rent. Now, here we are, a low-income state. We have a lot of low-income people that want to own or want to be able to rent a property. But three times $800 is $2,400. And we're talking about net, not gross. And we're knowing that what they're grossing is close to $1,000. So people are not even in a position to rent anymore because their income is so low. Now, we can cut that in half by just home ownership. That same type of property you can get for a $400 mortgage and be able to live the same way for a lot cheaper. And that's really what we're pushing people towards.
And there's the down payments now can be as low as 3%, right?
Right, and we have a lot of programs here available locally and in other states that will give you assistance on all these down payments and helping you get into a position. And we try to work closely with any program that's able to help any of our Citizen Wealth members, as well as anything that we can do on our end. So we have the knowledge as far as what you need to do. We have the resources. Who do you need to go to? We just encourage people to go in and just really join Citizen Wealth, because that's the only way that we're going to make a positive change in our family culture today, is if we actually actively get involved and get that information that everybody needs to know.
Right. And Citizen Wealth, I mean, people talk about the huge income and equity gap that's in the country now between the regular folks out there trying to make a living and the top 1, 2, 3, 0.5% who are just making multiple 20, 30 times those levels. But Citizen Wealth, I mean, I read recently that upper income on the most recent census is classified as resources higher than $650,000 in assets. And then middle income working people are classified at $96,000. Well, without owning a house, it's hard to get there because those are the programs those are the starter programs to be able to build income security. I'm not sure it should be that way, Chris, but it is that way. And to that degree that people are paying rents that are too high, we need to get more people into housing.
Absolutely. I mean, home ownership, like you said, that's the biggest asset that most people have. And it's really an investment for yourself. It's an investment for your children. It gives you the asset. It gives you equity. And it's something that you can actually pass on throughout the generations. And basically, when you own a home, we all know that we're more invested in that community. So building stronger communities, building stronger neighborhoods, we're actually able to get, you know, the value of those homes up. We're able to have a more active voice and to really push towards the goal of income security for our families and for ourselves. So I encourage anybody who can, you know, and anybody pretty much can, you know, if you have the right resources and the information, to be a homeowner, to go out and see what's available towards you, because Renting is not, you're not getting anything for your money other than 30 days with a roof over your head, and we want a lot more for our members and our community as a whole.
I think that's exactly right, and we're talking to Chris Harrison, who's a union representative for United Labor Unions Local 100 based in Arkansas, and he's heading up the union-wide Citizen Wealth Center program to try to create advocacy and really intellectual resources to be able to help people navigate the plethora of problems that are they confront and just going through the standard bureaucracy of what it takes to live with government, corporations, and others in modern society. Chris, is internet access increasing at all in Arkansas? Don't we still have a long way to go in that area?
We have a very long way to go. That digital divide that we're dealing with, people in these rural areas, even people with low income, there are supposed to be programs that provide a low-cost internet. We're not seeing people on these programs. We're not seeing them being promoted or offered like they should. And right now, it's vital for every household to have it because that's our main leak of information. You know, there's so much to filter through. We have to be on the cutting edge of technology and information to actually have the right information. Pretty much any newspapers that we used to read, you know, a lot of people don't get anymore. We don't hear about these public hearings that we need to attend, these new changes that they're trying to make to our programs, and we need to be there and have an active voice. And we also need to be up on the issues. It's needed for school. It's needed for day-to-day living. People pay bills. People pretty much manage their life, and it's the most best and efficient way to do so. So we're really wanting to everybody, every household, to have that internet access and to have a computer so they won't get left behind.
Well, while they're left behind, that means the fact that everybody's going online to provide information just gives them another mountain to climb, doesn't it? When you had to go online, for example, to enroll in the Affordable Care Program, if you weren't comfortable with computers, you had to have help. And now they've seriously cut back the navigation program or any kind of help in Arkansas, haven't they? Wasn't that part of the compromise in the legislature in continuing the private option?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now we have a cut in the navigator program. Most people today don't know how to find a navigator or even have access to anybody that can really get them the information they need and get them enrolled. So now we're kind of dependent on ourselves and programs such as Citizen Wealth, who've taken on the project and getting people enrolled and educating them and providing them the resources. And if they don't have the computer that they need to sign up, okay, now that we have it, because the day of paper applications are pretty much gone. So we need that internet access to get people enrolled, not only in things important as healthcare, but even jobs today. Everything is online.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, here's what worries me. There's this, on a federal program, on affordable care, if you had enrolled in 2014 and didn't go back to the marketplace, you were automatically re-enrolled in the plan you were in. Reading studies both here and in other countries, it looks like what tends to happen is that by not going back on the marketplace and seeing if there's a better deal, almost all the companies that you originally picked are going to raise your rates. So you could be losing thousands of dollars just because it was so hard for you to get through the internet the first time. Now you don't want to have to do it again. So the choice architecture, as they call it, is okay, on the default, I'll just go ahead and roll with what I've got and hope for the best. Well, hoping for the best doesn't necessarily work out. And the only state that didn't do that default was Rhode Island, and they're finding some 75% of the people did, in fact, go back on the marketplace, and many of them, because people were competing, they knew they had to face people again, lowered their prices. That's a real problem that I just worry that people in Arkansas who are just getting insurance are going to find themselves paying more and more without even realizing it.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that we stress. we have to get you in, and we have to, even if you have a plan, we need to review your plan because the formularies change. The doctors that's in your network, they change. So somebody who might have been covered in your provider network is now out of network, and they're no longer covered, so you're responsible for all or the majority of that bill. Little things like that that change, we need to be on top of it, and the only way possible to do it is to come in and get that help if you need it. And like I said, Citizen Wealth, we're here to navigate you through the process, not as navigators, but as, you know, advocates trying to educate people in health insurance and picking plans that's right for them so that we can save money. Because the whole point of the Affordable Care Act is that to make health care affordable. So if we're just blindly picking plans and still end up with high-end bills, then we're kind of defeating the whole purpose of the legislation.
Well, that's exactly right. Now, here's the problem on Citizen Wealth. This is with a union. Obviously, you know, people are used to paying dues. Without this kind of governmental or private support for new programs, we're having to charge some small fees for people to be able to access this kind of service, aren't we?
Absolutely. There is a small fee associated with some of the work that we do, and we try to keep it as low as possible because we're trying to make sure that price doesn't deter anybody from getting the services that they need or getting the information that they need. But we're really pushing to get our membership up, and it worked pretty much the same way the union membership does, that, you know, we have a monthly fee that, you know, that you pay, and you would have access to all these services, not only the ones that we have, but anything that you want to address in your community. We find that we get things done a lot more efficient and a lot quicker when we have an active voice behind us. And so we're trying to build that collaborative between ourselves, our neighbors, and our larger community to actually get these things done. So we're looking to really push our membership up, and we hope that to get some of these fees that we charge to disappear altogether, because if we have a strong membership base, you know, some of these fees will become unnecessary. Now, some things are a little bit more time-consuming, and we got to make sure that, you know, everybody gets treated fairly as far as, you know, what they're getting and the services, access to services. So keeping all those things in mind, membership is the main thing that's going to really push our program and make it more accessible to everybody, not just in the central areas, but the whole state and the whole region.
Well, I mean, obviously, we've got to run a self-sufficient program in order to be able to expand it and meet the need. You take the example that you gave on that person who was facing a $20,000 bill, or $10,000 bill, I guess, back to them and ended up with only $1,300. Paying a couple hundred dollars for that kind of time we put in, that's a good investment. They're not going to ever be calling saying, oh, my goodness, we didn't like that. They're probably, you know, going to be sending you Christmas cards for years.
Absolutely. And those are the things that, like I said, take a little bit more time. So there is a small charge that is associated with it, but it's well worth it. And that I just imagine that person, the stress that they were going through, seeing that they have a $10,000 bill with a monthly income of under, I believe, $1,300, $1,300 in Social Security. No way
yeah,
possible.
Forget about it, huh?
And they were in fear. Am I going to lose my assets if I pass away? You know, are they going to try to take my house? I mean, all these things are were kind of crossing their mind and a concern for them. And just getting that large bill from over their head was a relief. And a lot of other programs might offer you similar services, but I guarantee you they're going to be charging 3-4 times as much. And our main goal is for everybody to have these services and not have to worry, let price be a deterrent for them to come in and actually get the help that they need.
Well, the other thing that obviously as a union, one of the things we know backwards and forwards, A to Z, is what the laws are in terms of labor. And one of the big issues that's finally getting attention is how much wage theft there is. It is as common as the sun coming up every once in a while in the morning. And that's something that is a matter of just bird dogging through the DOL wage and hour division, sometimes going directly to the employer. And when you have a union, it's covered by a grievance procedure. But now that we have only, 11% or so, close to 12% of people working in the U.S. in unions, and less than 7% or around 7% private sector, people can't say, I'll just go to my union and fix that. And that's why we're trying to say, okay, you don't have a union. We're not necessarily your union, but we are a union. We know how to do this. And the Citizen Wealth Center is a way people can find that middle ground. Come ask the Citizen Wealth Center, this is something, is it fair? Here's my pay stub. Here's what's happening. Can you help me? We can stand up and be their advocate, can't we, Chris?
Absolutely. Wage theft, that's one of the things that we see all the time. A lot of time these employees are being required to clock out off of the pay clock and to continue to work and just to keep the labor down for the company, and that's stealing wages from the employees. Things like that we address. A lot of times people don't get their last paycheck or not all the wages that's owed to them. We're able to get in contact with the right people, make the phone calls, do the footwork, and get those back wages that employee is entitled to. So we're definitely a workers' association in that aspect, as far as we get, since you can't be part of a proper union as we know it, we're still able to be an advocate and, speak out for you because we know the laws and we're comfortable with reaching out to those employers and talking to the right people to get you what you need.
Yeah, that's right in our wheelhouse. Now, look, so here we've established the Citizen Wealth Center is a sort of an ombudsman, multi-purpose. You got an issue, it's with the government, it's with your employer, come to the Citizen Wealth Center. Now, tell people where they come, and obviously it's going to cost something, but everything's up front, it's transparent. You're going to know the first time you sit down what's going on. Tell people how they get in touch with the Citizen Wealth Center in Arkansas and elsewhere.
Well, we're located in Arkansas at 2101 South Main. That's in Little Rock, Arkansas. Our number is 501-588-3272. You can also check us out on citizenwealth.org, and that'll give you information about our offices and the different offices in Texas, which includes Houston, Dallas, and also our Baton Rouge and New Orleans office. All those local numbers and addresses can be found on our website. And I also want to put a extra word in as far as income tax come. We do income taxes. We do income tax returns. Now's the season. Go ahead and call us, make an appointment, or just walk in. That's something definitely we take care of, too.
And working on your income tax, we may see some other programs that you're eligible to get once we're sitting down with you and looking at the computer and going through it.
Absolutely. Just by sitting down with us and doing income taxes, we can look and see if you're in that range of where you're about ready to buy a house. We can also sit down with you and get your child enrolled for their college application, student loans. That's something that I've done recently with one lady. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can do just in that one sitting.
You name it, we can do it, Citizen Wealth Center. Give the phone number one more time, Chris.
Okay, that phone number is 501-588-3272. You can ask me, Chris, or anybody in our office. Be glad to help you.
This has been Wade Rathke. This has been Wade's World on KABF 88.3, 100,000 watts of people power. Next week, we've got some people from Washington, D.C. that are experts in some of these housing issues we were talking about. But next, we've got one of our favorite people talking about wine and whatnot. This is Wade Rathke for Wade's World.